Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
I was reading my horoscope today because, as you know, I got a new subscription to the newspaper and they publish them in there. And today, my horoscope said that we're going to have the best podcast episode we've ever had.
Yeah, I'm not into this.
Oh, well, I'm glad that you're open-minded.
Sawbones has a good episode this week.
And this is Stranger Still. To Stranger Still,
a podcast where Robot Nick
and Robot John
explain questions
that you never thought to ask.
10001111111.
Dude, I can't. You just, man, slay
with those jokes. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a podcast where we answer strange questions you never thought to ask.
I'm Nick Wood.
I'm John Began.
And what are we talking about today, John?
We're gonna talk about astrological astrologials,
astrologials, and horoscopicals.
Horoscopicals.
No, a horoscope is not something your doctor uses to check your heart rate.
Yep.
It is future predictions and stuff.
That you use to check your U rate, Nick.
My what?
Your U rate.
I don't know what that is.
It's all personal to you.
Oh, I see where you're going with that. I got a quick story. Back in college, I took an astronomy course. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting. We learned all about celestial bodies and like physics of space, like gravitational blue shift and black holes and event horizons and all kinds of fun stuff. And then people would be like, oh, what college courses you take in? And I'd be like, astrology. And they're like, you're learning astronomy in college? That's just like basket weaving. I'm like, no, astronomy, not astrology. They're two very different things. And that's very frustrating that they get confused.
Oh boy.
Because one of them is very scientific.
Yeah. Well, I went through the same thing. I had the same problem when I was in school.
Go for it.
I was taking, astrological bodybuilding. So they really tell you how to like crunch those abs up to make them stars shine bright.
Yeah, and prevent white dwarfing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. What's your astrological sign?
I was born between April 1st and April 1st. So, Aries.
Are you Aries?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you are Aries. Aries, what I breathe.
Eh.
That's not my joke. Sorry.
Your funniness, the Aries. What sign are you, Nick?
I'm a Leo. Took a lot less time to get there. Do you believe that there's any validity to astrology?
Well, there's stars up there.
And I didn't say astronomy, astrology.
Maybe at the end of the episode,
you
teach me the difference.
Yeah.
No, why? Why? I don't know. They don't know. No.
Was there a phase in your life where you believed in astrology? Because there definitely was in my life.
No.
I was like, there might be some validity. Like, supposedly, I made good friends with Sagittarius, and it was a very weird coincidence that a lot of my friends were Sagittariuses, but also, it's not surprising when you look at when they would have been conceived, because a lot of people are born during that time of year.
Yeah, I believed in Sagittarius, but then when the new evidence came out that those weren't really dinosaurs,
I kind of went way of the Brontosaurus.
Right, which are real, turns out.
Well,
they came back.
I think they just named a different...
Guess who's back?
It's the Brontosaurus.
Yep.
In the house.
Yeah, they're really into trap music.
Yeah.
So I didn't really have a skeptical phase with it. I just kind of didn't believe it at all immediately.
Yeah?
But I did like to read them for fun.
Yeah, they're interesting.
Like, let me see how close this is.
Yeah, there's one article that I found that pointed to a study that, and I'll refer to this article a lot. It was from Texas A&M, or Western Texas A&M University. They had a really good article that had a lot of information, a lot of studies in it. And one of the studies said that 41% of Americans believe horoscopes are scientifically sound. And that's not even just the people that believe in them. This is the people that think that you can rely on horoscopes because they are scientifically sound.
Now, I would like to have that study done again.
Mm-hmm.
But first, we have to go back in time
mm-hmm.
and change astrology and astronomy from being so similar. Because I bet you a part of that group, at least 1%, believes that they're the same.
Yeah, and that would have some sort of influence on it. There's a lot of other things that go into it. We won't focus on that right now because we'll get to that much later. Because first we need to define what horoscopes in the zodiac are. Just in case you've been living under a rock your whole life, you might not know what horoscopes are. The zodiac is a certain belief system that astrologers, not astronomers, study and work in. Astrologers will say that depending on where planets and stars were when you were born has an effect on your life today, as well as where those planets and stars are at in the sky today. So they can determine your future. They can fortune tell based on where celestial bodies were when you were born.
Yeah.
That usually is referring to our solar system, but they also do look at constellations and Polaris, the next closest star to us from the sun. Some people say that the gravity of these astral bodies will have an influence on you, but as we already know from our moon episode, that's not true. Even yeah. for something as close as the moon's gravity doesn't have any effect on at us all. As people.
Yeah.
It does on the Earth, but not us.
Because the Earth's bigger.
Yeah. It has more gravity. It has more mass. The other thing that isn't quite as scientific is they say, well, maybe our spirits exist on another plane and the celestial bodies have an influence on our spirit within that plane. And since our spirit is being affected on that plane, it will determine our lives over here on the Earth as we know it.
Okay. I mean, there are other planes. There's science in that kind of stuff. That we have different, like...
Boeing.
Yeah.
Virgin Airlines.
Man, you're really good at this.
Improv?
JetBlue?
Allegiant Air?
Yeah.
As far as gravity goes, when people say that, like, gravity has an effect on you, that sounds scientific, and it can get a foot in the door. And even further to wedge that door open, they will say that they're using physics and mathematical equations to very accurately determine where planets and stars will be at any given date. And that's true. It gets complicated, but we can predict wherever planets will be pretty much any date in the future.
Yeah.
That is science. And that gets the foot in the door. Then they take that knowledge and they say, oh, well, Neptune will be here and the sun will be in this constellation on this date.
So you're going to find a boyfriend on Thursday.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that, you know? And there are 12 or 13 sun signs, depending on who you ask.
Okay.
Or zodiac signs or astrology signs, whatever you want to call them. There's no perfect name for them. You can hear them be called all of these. They're all based on where the sun was on... It's really hard to explain. It depends on where the sun was on, like, the plane of constellations when you were born. And I think it has to do with where the latitude the sun is when it rises and sets, and how that correlates to which constellation rises first on the horizon. Does that make sense? Because it doesn't to me.
So let me re-explain it in baby brain terms, like me. Based on when you're born, one of the constellations will show up first.
Yeah, and that's...
That's the one you are.
Yeah, that's a much better way to say it. And when people say, the sun is in Leo, that's what they're referring to. The sun... Leo will rise on the horizon on the night sky first, and the sun is, quote-unquote, in Leo.
Yep. That's and now all these constellations are just shapes that...
People in ancient times were... They had nothing else to do, so they looked up at the stars and tried to make meaning out of them.
Right, and there's a lot less light pollution.
Exactly.
So the stars are super bright. Yeah.
That's why this is a huge tangent I wasn't expecting to go on, but every time I watch Ancient Aliens, I've had this discussion with you before.
Yeah.
They will say, like, all of the city's layout matches up to this constellation or this whatever so perfectly. There's no way they could have done this without help of aliens. And it's like, yeah, they could. They had nothing else to do other than look up at the sky and be like, okay, this goes here and this goes here. And this is exactly this far away from this.
Timmy, where'd you put the light bulb? Oh, light bulbs don't exist. So
so let's just look up at the sky again.
Yeah, we'll just use natural lighting.
Yeah.
A lot of bay windows.
That's when I get frustrated at Ancient Aliens. Everything else is fine, but when they start bringing that up.
Sure. Yeah. Good pick.
Yeah. So as I said, there are either 12 or 13 constellations or signs that you can abide by for the sun sign. The problem is... Astrology isn't an exact science, so sorry to drop that truth bomb so early, but the point is some astrologers will use one system that uses the 13th sign, and some people will stick with the 12th.
Yeah.
Because there's no rule book on this stuff. So The other problem is, depending on which system you use, can change the dates that determine your sign. So you're an Aries. That's anyone born on the tropical zodiac, anyone born between March 21st and April 20th. Over on the sidereal zodiac, or sidereal, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's spelled like sidereal.
Yeah.
It's anyone born between April 15th and May 15th. So it's like an entire month after the tropical zodiac.
Dang, so I'd move up a little bit.
Yeah, and from my understanding, I think it's only the sidereal zodiac that uses the 13th sign. But I don't even have any dates for that. I couldn't find any dates for the 13th sign, which we'll get into. I think most people use the tropical zodiac, if I'm not mistaken, because that's where both of our signs fall into.
And I wonder if it's because that's the one the newspapers picked.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So we can go into these real fast. If anyone doesn't know what their sign is, anyone born between, as I said, March 21st and April 20th is an Aries, and under the tropical zodiac. That's what I'm going to go with because that's what everyone else uses. Anyone born between April 21st and May 21st is a Taurus. Anyone born between May 22nd and June 21st is a Gemini. Anyone born between June 22nd and July 22nd is Cancer. Anyone between July 23rd and August 22nd is a Leo. That's me. My birthday's coming up. You better get me a gift.
Oh, man.
Did I get you a gift?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. I did, too. A Virgo is anyone between August 23rd and September 23rd. Libra is September 24th to October 23rd. Scorpio is October 24th to November 22nd. Ophiuchus is the 13th sign. It's in between Scorpio and Sagittarius with no dates. Don't know when that is. Sagittarius is between November 23rd and December 21st. Capricorns are between December 22nd and January 20th. Aquarius, age of Aquarius, is between January 21st and February 19th. And then Pisces is anyone between February 20th and March 20th. So now that every one of our listeners has fallen asleep, hopefully you know what your sign is subconsciously.
Can you make a speed run of this episode with just that part?
Yeah.
What your sign is?
Yeah.
And just call the episode, "What's My Sign?"
What's my sign? So how do these celestial bodies influence you? Other than we know that, like, the whole gravity thing, besides all of that, what do these constellations and planets and the sun and the moon do to you?
They make me look at the sky and think, hey, look, I found the Big Dipper. Where's the Little Dipper? Oh, well, I can't find it. I guess I'll go inside. That's how it goes.
Every time. So the other thing that they do, I think I talked about this before, maybe I didn't. No, I didn't talk about this, is astrologers will measure angles and distances between certain bodies in space to read your future. And all of that is based on the spirits or personalities that each of these bodies have. So they'll measure all these distances, figure out what direction they're going, quote unquote, stuff like that, and then base your fortune telling on the personalities of these planets. So for instance, Mars is in charge of your life and body.
Okay, great.
Venus is in charge of, like, money and material possessions and stuff. Mercury is in charge of communication and school and stuff like that. The moon, which in the eyes of...
Stamps. In charge of stamps.
Why do you say that?
It gets pretty specific after a while, doesn't it?
Yes. It does, yeah, actually.
There's so many stars. Yeah, and
razor
planets.
Scooters.
Right.
No.
Razor scooter was the C-32 section of the sky.
The moon's in charge of your family and parents and home life and stuff. The sun is where you get, like, your creativity and romance and entertainment.
And everything.
And everything.
That's where you get your everything, because the sun, because it's food.
Because it literally gives you life. Mm. Couldn't have life without it. Mercury is, like, your work life and just your general health. Venus is your romantic side. And marriage and stuff.
So if this is all for, like, work, and it's ancient,
mm-hmm.
and it was created by ancient Greeks and all that,
yeah,
what if we had communism or something today and no one had to work? Would the planets not work anymore?
That's not how communism works. You still have to work.
Yeah, what if we didn't have to work? What if you retired? Like, the world just works on trade and...
Then I assume they'd be like, oh, well, then it pertains to your hobbies.
Okay.
It's your hobbies. Your hobbies will flourish. Pluto, I guess it still counts. It has to do with, like, death and money. Stuff like that. Jupiter is travel, spirituality, law. Saturn is, again, your career, social position. Uranus is in charge of your body. I'm just kidding. It's in charge of friendships, which is interesting, and aspirations. And then Neptune is kind of your, I don't know. It says right here the unconscious, which kind of is everything else in here, like hidden matters, secret stuff, seclusion, stuff like that. So the beauty of this is just one example that I got from astrolibrary.com. Yeah.
What about Pluto, which is not a planet? Was that included?
I said that, yeah. That was death and money and stuff.
Oh, and no loss. More death, huh?
Yeah, we don't have any more death.
No
Everyone
more money.
Lives forever. Congratulations, Earth. The beauty of this, though, is that this came from astrolibrary.com, and I'm sure if you go from one astrologist to another, their definitions will change. I mean, they'll probably be similar, but once again, there's no clear-cut rule book for this stuff.
Yeah.
So they can just pretty much say whatever they want. The other terms that you might hear, I'll go over these really fast, is you might hear stuff like, the sun is in the third house, or something like that. Have you ever heard that?
No.
Really? I heard it like once. That just means that the sun is in that constellation. That's
the only thing I ever hear is Mercury is in retrograde.
Yeah, you hear a lot that whatever planet is in retrograde, and I had no idea what this meant. This is
change of direction, right?
Well, it means yes, it means that the planet or whatever appears to be moving away from us. The real scientific explanation is parallax. But to astrologers, this means that the body is turned away from us. It's moving away from us. So its energy is actually turned in, and it's focusing all that energy on us, and it's amplified. So, example, let's say Neptune is in retrograde. You might become more secluded, or you might uncover some deep secret or something like that. Whereas if Saturn is in retrograde, you might find great success in your career.
See, I just have such a, like... That's terrifying to me. I get that people find comfort in this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want the planets to control my emotions.
Yeah. Let's get into the meat and potatoes of this episode.
Okay.
Because all of that is just how astrology works. Now, a lot of people will say that this is real science. There are studies to back this up. And other people will say that it's a pseudoscience. And I will be the one to tell you today that it is a pseudoscience. Ta-da!
Yeah. And sorry. I will be the one, in contrast, to say that it's a pseudoscience.
And thank you for taking that position for our listeners. I've already talked about how gravity is supposed to have an effect, or the planets and the stars have an effect on our spirit. Right away, we know that gravity doesn't have an effect on us. One article said that gravity of our closest star besides the sun, Polaris, has less of a gravitational pull than a gnat flying around our head. Because everything with mass has a gravitational pull. And Polaris has no more effect on us than a gnat.
Wow, well, done.
Done. Cross that one off.
Here's one thing that I'm curious about then.
Mm-hmm.
Astrological bodies.
Yeah.
You've got Cancer, Aries, whatever, like signs too. Mm-hmm. All this stuff, regardless if it's a body or if it's a sign, or if it's... It was all discovered by, like, people like Galileo, and it's, mm-hmm. like, all... You could put a name to it. When he was doing this, did he think that they were divine?
Well, that's the other thing, too, is back then, we didn't know what stars were. Like, we didn't know that they were big balls of gas.
Yeah.
So they had to explain it somehow. That's just human nature. We continually try to explain things that don't make sense. And so, yeah, they were divine. Like... If we go back a second here, they'll say that Gemini was in charge of Mercury. Like, he owned Mercury. And
then even before that, so the reason that he felt that they were divine was because religion was established. And
mm-hmm.
there were multiple gods back in the day. Like,
yep.
there's a god of war that's in charge of this planet
mm-hmm.
and whatever. So it goes back and back and back and back and back.
Yeah. Each of these constellations have a story of how they got into the sky.
Does that mean that we modernized their version of that till today, and this is kind of like left over from the Enlightenment?
Pretty much, yeah. Like, this is the thing that shocks me is that people still follow this, even though there are so many things going against it, if that makes sense. Like, there's so much science going against astrology, and people are still like, no, I stick to this. You are a Virgo, so I can't date you. Because yeah. We won't be compatible.
So what's the deal with, we should probably do a whole episode on the science of coincidence, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we'll get into that that's confirmation bias. We'll get into that. We'll take a step back real fast. When you're looking at science from a whole, the scientific method states that you should be able to replicate results, right? So if you're going to say astrology is scientific, you need to be able to replicate results. And if you can't, then it's not science. It is a pseudoscience by definition. So we have to throw that out the window because, as I said before, if you go from one astrologer to the next, they're going to give you a completely different fortune reading than the last one because they're just making it up. They have an idea of what these bodies are supposed to mean and where they were at when you were born and where they're at right now. So they can make a story based on that information, but it is made up. Sorry. Some people might say, well, no, they just have different interpretations. So I will point you to two more studies from this article,
mm-hmm.
The West Texas A&M article. There was one study conducted on 4,000 people that showed no correlation between birth date, personality, or intelligence. It's all random. That's a huge sample size.
Yeah.
Like, if you consider 100 people as a small sample size, 4,000 is a giant sample size. The other study was done by Sean Carlson and 28 astrologers. He sat down and said, hey, I want to do this study. He went through the method with them and said, is this fair? They said, yes, this is fair. He asked them all to make predictions on different people and found that their predictions had no more accurate outcomes than random chance. So you just flip a coin, and it was just as accurate as these people's readings.
This is what this guy, what's-his-face does when you go to his live shows.
Who's that?
What's that famous?
Jeez. I know who you're talking about. Tell our audience about him while I look at him.
So, yeah, there's a couple of different guys. I can't remember this dude's name in particular that stands out. John Edwards, is it?
No.
He's one of them.
That's the psychic. I thought you were talking about James Randi.
Oh, James Randi is the guy that dispels all this.
Yes.
He's awesome.
Anyway, go on with what you were saying, then I'll talk about James Randi.
My whole thing was the method that a lot of psychics use to trick people.
Like cold reading?
Cold readings and things like that. The way that works is you sign up to go to this show.
Mm-hmm.
They have a little handy questionnaire.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to ask a question? If you were, what kind of question would you want to ask?
Mm-hmm.
Put in some information about your family and your friends and who's going to be coming with you, things like that. Have you had a recent death that you might want to ask him about?
Right.
And they take that information.
And they feed it to him.
They feed it to him through a microphone in his ear.
Yeah.
And when he picks on you, they say, yeah, she's got a mom named Peggy.
That's called a warm reading, yeah.
You know, so even then, like, you've got that in your ear being fed to him. He made a bunch of money doing this kind of stuff and playing off people's emotions, which I'm not cool with.
Astrologers can do that, yeah.
Yeah.
The James Randi goes around and debunks these people. He has set aside a lot of money. I think it's up to $1 million or something like that, that if anyone can undeniably prove in a study that both James Randi and the psychic or whoever agree is fair, if they can prove that they're actually psychic, he will give them $1 million.
Yeah.
And this has been going on since the 60s or 70s, 70s at the very latest, and no one's been able to claim it. Gee, yep. I wonder why.
Well, yeah, it makes me... At one point, I can totally get why people want to believe this.
Yeah.
Our world's awful sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's nice to be able to, like, at least somewhat know about the chaos and know about some of the control and predict some of the terrible things that happen.
Yeah.
And beyond that, if you've got another, like, millions of other people also believing it, it makes it easier and more comforting.
Well, yeah. It's human nature to, one, put your faith in things, and two, have control of something. And if you can't have control of everything, so this at least allows some lenience on that need as a human.
Yeah. But then on the opposite side of it, I want control 100%, and I have the opposite effect where I don't want a planet the way that it turns to tell me, like, if I'm gonna pass my math test.
Yeah. So I think it's fine to some degree that people believe in this. Just don't go around pushing it on me and we'll be fine. Some people, when faced with, like, the study with 4,000 people, will still say, no, I still 100% think it's true. Like, I went about my world, my horoscope said this, and it came true, and I made $1 million, or something like that.
Fine, but check your bias.
Exactly. One. So there's two things at work here. The biggest one is confirmation bias. And the second one is placebo effect,
yeah.
Which we know about placebo effect. It makes you feel good, and it works for you. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Confirmation bias is the same thing that makes Murphy's Law work, where you're paying attention to the times where something that you thought would come true, and you throw out all the times it didn't happen. So you might be having a bad morning, like your car breaks down, so you walk to work, and then you trip on your shoelace and rip a hole in your knee, and then you're like, fine, whatever, I'll go to Target and get a new pair of jeans. But then on the way to Target, someone stole your wallet, and you're like, oh, of course this would happen. If something can go wrong, it will go wrong. But you throw out all the times where you went to work just fine.
Yeah.
All the hundreds of other days where everything just went perfectly normal, you don't take those into consideration. And that's confirmation bias. When you're looking out for something, you're going to pick that out.
Yeah.
So go on.
Oh, no, I was just saying, unless you're me, and my life's terrible sometimes.
It's terrible all
the time. No, but I go through the same thing. The other day, I had a coax cable, which makes my internet work, and I work from home. My dog had chewed it up, and I had a flat tire, so I couldn't go to the store to get one. And I've got the best friend in the world, and I called him up. His name's Nicholas Wood.
I thought I was your best friend.
Yeah, and he showed up 20 minutes later, bought me a brand new one.
Yeah.
So it was awesome, and I could have just said, ugh, just my luck, I had a flat tire and my cable broke. But I had a best bud that like took time out of his day, time and money to help me.
Yeah.
And, you know, that cancels it out. But it depends on your mentality as a positive or a negative person, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's the other thing, too. Even if you're reading your horoscope, you could latch onto the negative stuff and be like, well, I'm going to get fired this week, and like I'm going to lose my three best friends, blah, 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 and then you're going to be on the lookout for that.
Yeah.
So anything that even comes tangentially close to that, you're going to be like, that's what the horoscope was talking about. So the horoscope could say, you will find misfortune outside the home, and you could be at the mall, and you'll like trip and fall on your face, and be like, that's what my horoscope was talking about. But you could have just falling on your face any other day.
Yeah.
Just, whatever.
Yeah, I fall on my face a lot.
So, check your biases. And, I mean, if you want to believe in it, believe in it. Whatever you want to put your faith in is fine by me.
You could just, as long as you're checking your biases, you're checking your helloises, you do you.
You do you.
Just don't let it make you, like, make bad decisions.
Yeah.
Because of what a newspaper said, or a website.
Or Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that goes a little bit deeper. Want to recap?
Yeah. Long, 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 long ago.
Yes, approximately.
Yeah. There was a man named...
That's okay, man name?
Yeah, and he looked up in the sky and he was like... Yep. And then later when they decided how to turn that into words, they wrote it down and then they said, I guess this is God.
Yeah.
That carried over.
It has to be.
People like Galileo started giving him names.
Mm-hmm.
That carried over even further. And it got to today, where now everybody has signs, and people have a lot of fun, and there's probably a huge market, money-wise.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
For people to subscribe and to believe these things.
Yeah. Like, there's books of horoscopes. They have daily, weekly, yearly horoscopes. I've also found websites where they have like love life horoscope or career horoscope. So they'll even just, like, go even nittier and grittier based on this pseudoscience.
Yep.
Hey, you out there listening right now. Yes, you. Don't even think that I'm not talking to you. You should leave us a review on iTunes.
You know, I don't know how you're so good at improv. You made it sound like you were reading that, but you did. You really weren't.
I've gotten better over the last year.
Please leave us a review.
Please leave us a review. We'll read it on the air.
I might do a little mini.
Nice.
Yeah, I might do another mini video about why podcasts ask for reviews and how they help.
Yeah, yeah.
Because really, it's really important.
Even if we've been around for a year, it still helps. If you subscribe wherever you're listening, leave us a review wherever you're listening. iTunes just happens to be the biggest chunk of where people are listening, so that's why we ask for it the most.
Yep.
And hey, just completely random, if there's ever a new podcast, they only have a couple episodes up, and you're like, hey, I like this, make sure you subscribe to that podcast and leave a review and share it with your friends and tell them to leave a review, just in case that happens in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, like if anyone you know or I know or like anyone on this podcast,
the entertainment people
decided to make
like,
a new one.
Right.
With their like family or
just apropos of nothing.
Hmm.
Where can people find us, John?
StrangerStillShow.com.
And at Twitter, or sorry, at Stranger Still on Twitter.
And Stranger Still and Facebook.
Yeah, facebook.com/group/StrangerStillShow.
Yep, that's where most of our junk's going on.
Yeah, that's where we have a party going on. And we got a good group of people. I say that all the time, but I love you guys.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Just, I guess, the day that we're recording this, Sean on there, he interacts on there a lot. He reminded us of our hashtag hash browns joke. And that was fun to relive because I love that joke. Do you want to know what your horoscope says?
Please.
Let me read this to you. The tension in the air might be what you need in order to become more aware of subconscious issues that affect your behavior, Aries. There's a great deal that you need to get off your chest. The more honest you can be about the pain people have caused you, the more love will flow in the future. Open the communication channels.
I've never loved you.
Oh, well.
I've just got the courage to say that.
Love is not
flowing your
way. I feel
so much better.
You know, it's funny. I'm not even joking. This says today's matches, your love match for today is Aquarius. Your friendship match for today is a Leo.
Oh, look at this.
And your career match is a Virgo. So there you go.
Okay. There we go. Now I believe because it affirmed something that I thought might be true.
Right. And then it also gives today's star ratings. This is horoscope.com. Your love has 2 stars out of 5, so you're not very loving right now.
No.
Your mood is a 4 out of 5, so you're in a pretty good mood.
Eh.
Your money is a 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
So you're bankrupt.
Hmm.
And your career is 4 out of 5. So it's just like they flipped a coin and went 2-4-2-4. What's my horoscope say, John?
You want to flip that around and I'll read it to you? Have you ever read it?
No, I haven't.
The intensity of the day may bring unexpected opposition, Leo. Whether it's verbalized or not, the confrontations are quite real. Don't underestimate a loved one's emotions. Stand up to these issues and be realistic about their solutions. No one expects you to have all the answers, so don't pretend to. We're all human, and we all make mistakes.
John, I don't know where I put your keys. I'm sorry. And we have to break that window to get back in your house. So.
Mm-hmm. Based in truth. Did lose my keys before this. What's the second thing you read to me? Stars?
Oh, yeah, they're down there.
4 out of 5 on love.
Uh-huh.
2 on mood.
Oh, well, I feel actually pretty good. So.
Okay. 4 on money.
No.
And
3. Don't feel that.
And 3 on career.
Sure. I don't know what that means. It's too vague. See, that's the other thing about friggin' horoscopes is they're so vague you can apply any meaning that you want to them.
Your matches are love, Taurus, friendship, Scorpio, Aquarius.
You know what's funny is Shelby's a Taurus, so there you go.
Yeah.
My love.
Object affectionism. You're dating a car.
Yeah.
We'll have to cover your object affectionism on another episode, too.
Shelby was named after the Shelby Mustang, so.
Oh.
Thanks for bringing that up. I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this has been Stranger Still.
Gross.